encourage you as Christians of how you can encourage yourself, pretty much, is what you'll see in a minute. In Jesus' name. Father, I'm just a man. And Lord, I just thank you that you've given the Holy Spirit within me to express himself to me and those words that are necessary to pierce the hearts of those who will hear it. And I do pray that, Father, that this message is not mine, that it is yours, and that those who hear it will not just leave and forget what they heard, just like looking in the face in a mirror and forgetting what you look like. But these are things to store and treasure in our heart so that when it comes time for us to call upon them, Lord, we have the strength to use them. For that's your purpose here during this time, Lord, is to get us strengthened as the body of Christ, to equip ourselves as the body of Christ, to do your will on earth as it is in heaven. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's put up 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. The setting is this. David has just been out to war. He's been warring all of his life. He's used to war, and he feels like, you know what? I'm running from Saul. I'm running from King Saul, and I'm running from my life, and I'm just a little bit frustrated. God, you said I was going to be king, and it hasn't come to pass yet. You anointed me. Samuel anointed me. I'm going to be the next king of Israel, and here I am just trying to survive. I got the present king of Israel coming after me to kill me. I know your promises, and I'm David, so I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to remain strong, and I'm just going to go out, and I'm going to just continue to stay away until you tell me to move in. But in the meantime, I'm going out. I'm going to do what I know what to do, and that's warfare. And so David once again goes out to he's living in the land of the Philistines, and he goes out, and then he's attacking all of the enemies of, believe it or not, you know, the guys that he was living with are thinking he's going after the Jewish people, but he's actually going after their own enemies or their own people, and he's coming back for more. Well, David got so used to this that he went out one time, and, you know, it's like the rest of us. We do church, and we get into our ministries, and we go about our business, and we almost get a little cocky. We almost think that, you know what, we're doing this really in our own strength, and we really don't need God, right? And so sometimes, even when we have the right intentions, and we're blessed and highly favored, and we're going out and doing the things of God, we have a tendency to just kind of get into a routine. We get into a routine. I think Amanda was saying, you know, well, I got great intentions. I want to get to church, and I know church is good for me, and I'm going to be around people that are going to encourage me, and I'm going to leave better than I came in and stuff like that. But you know what? The bed feels good. Or, you know what? I need a vacation right about now, and I'm going to take a short sabbatical or whatever. But the bottom line is David was in that position, and he went out. And what happened was is when he was out to war, when he came back, his wife and all the wives of the guys and all of their children were taken captive. Well, his soldiers weren't too happy with that. And so at that point in time, friends were limited. He didn't have a whole lot of companions. There weren't a lot of guys going, rah, rah, re, David, we're still with you. We're protecting you from King Saul. At that point in time, our wives and our kids are gone, and we frankly want to kill you for taking us away so many times to go out to war and do this. David had nobody to turn to. Well, he did. And that was God. And I don't know if you've ever been there where you've had no one. You've exhausted even your friends. Or your friends have given you the cliches. Or maybe they're your good friends, but at this point in time, they just don't have wise counsel for you. You've received everything that you can possibly see from mankind, and there's nowhere else you can turn to except up. I'm there right now with my wife. You know, hospital said, that's all we can do. You know, we're there. It's like, God, if you don't show up, we're going down. And I say we because I've been at her side, and I'm going to stay at her side. And you know what? I watched a movie a long time ago. I think it was with Tom Cruise. I forget what it was. It was about airplanes. What is that thing? Top Gun or whatever? And one of the phrases that was in there was, never leave your wingman. Do you have a brother that will stand by you in any circumstance in life? Are you that close to somebody who you know that will never give up on you no matter what? Because that's special when you have that. But as I get into this message today, you're going to learn that even sometimes that brother can and probably will fail you because man is fallible. Jesus said, I cannot put my trust in man. I only have the Father. Doesn't mean we don't have those relationships and we have us around us, but at some point in time, people fail you. Even your own spouse will fail you at times. It doesn't mean we don't get out of covenant and we run. It just means there's times when there's nowhere else that you can go except on your knees and go to God and he's your source. So today I want to talk to you about how to encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen? Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. I don't know if you're at that point. But sometimes you feel like the whole world's against you. I'm all by myself. Nobody understands my situation. Everybody's throwing stones at me. They're being critical. They're being judgmental. I've made mistakes. You've made mistakes. Praise God for Jesus Christ. We are forgiven. And if He can forgive you, you can forgive someone else. And more importantly, you can forgive. Because at some point in time, you're going to have to learn to forgive others. And then you're going to want that forgiveness coming right back at you. But they were ready to stone him, for all the people were embittered. That means they were not happy. They were angry at David. Each one because of his sons and his daughters, as I just told you the story. But David did what? And here's the message today. He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He knew that there was nowhere else to turn. Someone's coming after me to kill me. All the guys that were protecting me are now not wanting not just to protect me, but they want to join the king in stoning me. I am toast without God. And when you get that broken and you get that desperate, that's when God does His best work. Because now you're relying and trusting in Him and Him alone, which is where He's wanted us from the very beginning when we were born into this world. But we learn to trust in other things, in systems, and in hospitals, and in insurance companies, and in people, and in all those things. And we forget our first love, and we forget our first line of defense. And that still is and still will be until the day I die and the last breath I preach, Almighty God, if you have a relationship with Him. The Bible says we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. Friends are wonderful. Friends are wonderful, especially the real close ones. But there comes a time when God will allow you to have no one. Did you hear what I said? There's times when God orchestrates, and I'm here to tell you because it's experience for me. God will orchestrate in your life that you have no one else. You're crying and you need some shoulder to cry on, and they're not answering their phone. They're not home. Oh, well, I got this person over here. They're on vacation, sorry. Oh, I can go over here. And you know what? There isn't anywhere else over here. God will orchestrate so that you have that. Boom. And to think that that's not enough is just wrong thinking. Because it is enough. It is sugar and spice and everything nice to add friends and family and everybody else to come and just gather around and give us that kind of ministry. But there are going to be times in your life, and I'm just telling you that, when God will orchestrate it, that those will be removed because He wants you to have complete and total dependence upon Him. That's just the way He's made you. He put a void in you that only He can fill. Oh yeah, we get married and we have kids and we have people around us and stuff like that, but there's part of you inside of you, the anatomy in you, the part that God created in you, that void that is in you that can only be filled by God, not a spouse. If your spouse becomes more important than your God, you're in trouble. If your kids become more important to you than your God, you're in trouble. If your best friend becomes more important than God in your life, you're in trouble. I'm just here to tell you that God alone gets all the glory. God alone is your source of all things. He'll use people in your lives to help fill that, but you have to got to keep your eyes fixed on Him and let the other things kind of come into place. This is what David faced. We can encourage ourselves in the Lord. Again, why? Why would He have no one in your life? Why does God take away all of your support? Why does He remove it all? Many times He's just trying to teach us to plug into Him. It's just as simple as that. It forces you to come to church. It forces you to plug into Him by just reading the Word at home, having a cup of coffee with God, praying when you not normally would pray because of desperate times. He's training us not to, listen, He is training us not to need people, but to always need Him. We have got to learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord, because David had to. The Bible has a unique way of putting this. The Lord tells us to gird up our loins. Remember Elijah? Depressed, down, Jezebel chasing him, all this stuff. You know, I got nowhere. Nobody's helping me. I'm all prophet, all by myself. I'm giving a hard word, and I got women chasing me and stuff. Not in the right way, but the wrong way. Right? Gird up your loins, God says. He tells us as Christians, you're strong, you're mighty, Holy Spirit's living within you. You might have lost, and it could be very devastating. You might have lost a family member. You might be going through difficult times, hard times, whatever, and stuff like that. But He says, gird up your loins, because your salvation draweth nigh. It's from up in heaven. You'll see Him again. If you lose people here, you'll get it there. And I don't mean to be like this, don't make anything of it, because I would be just as broken and have been broken before when all those things have happened. But what God is trying to tell us is this is not home. This is not the ultimate of ultimates. This is not where all the ecstasy comes from. We're going to have that, and we're going to have it in heaven. But right now, we're His vessels on earth, and we're shaped and molded in His way to be used of Him where He gets priority in our life, and all the rest of the kingdoms we try to build take second, third, fourth, and fifth place. If God is not first in your life, you're going to miss it every time. I don't care how much money you have, how happy you think you are, there is a void that He's got there that will only be filled through Him. We have to learn to encourage ourselves in the Lord, to always need Him. The Bible, again, saying gird up your loins, in other words, you have to determine you are never going to leave God. You have to determine that you are never going to leave God and will always serve Him. I don't know about the rest of you, but there's times, and I'm just going to be frankly honest, I get mad and I get angry. God, why aren't you working in this situation? I have for my wife. She's a Proverbs 31 woman. I haven't seen a crossword come out of her mouth. She is serving the community. She is other-oriented. She is working at the hospital. She is serving me and my family. I have never seen her. I mean, I'm not worshiping her. I worship you. But my God, she's far greater at things of being so compassionate and kind and extending all the goodness and all stuff. Why, God? I mean, I can't ask why, because then I get there, because I know too much. All right, can't ask you why, but I'm a little perturbed. I'm sorry, I repent for that. Am I the only one who's ever done that? Why does the situation continue to happen? Why does my sister-in-law have to stay in ICU barely breathing when, you know, we need to be pumping up Jesus into her and getting her saved? You know, we need time. We've all faced these situations in our life. Why aren't my kids where they need to be? I've raised them in the way they should go, and look at them, they're way over there, God. Not trusting that the seeds you've planted will return and it'll come back. Just like Billy Graham's son was on drugs. Franklin Graham's, didn't he give his testimony? He was on all kinds of drugs, so far from God, you couldn't believe it. And look at him now. He's taken over his father's ministry, and he's working in missions and providing food all over the country, and he's one of the most godly men that's out there now, speaking to presidents and stuff like that. And he was on drugs out in the middle of nowhere. Why? Because of all of us helping him? No, because of God. Encourage yourself in the Lord. He had to make a decision at some point in time when the Holy Spirit met him that I'm going to serve you, God. And that didn't just come out of nowhere, although it can, and God can grab you out of nowhere. But it's from all those seeds that are planted by Christians who are faithful to give a good testimony, to lead your lives in such a way that you know that little eyes are watching you at all times. That will have an impact on the later generation. Because when they grow up and they've tasted of the world and they see what the world tastes like, but they've also had an opportunity because you were faithful and you sowed the seeds of faithfulness, those seeds are going to taste better than what the world's got to give, because that's how God made it. This is encouragement for you so that you don't get discouraged when all these things are happening. You just go to God and remind Him of His word, remind Him of His faithfulness, remind of what you've deposited in every other person that you've talked to when it's been good stuff. This is how we do it. This is how we function and roll as Christians. So, gird up your loins. Determine you're not going to leave God. You're always going to serve Him no matter what circumstance you're in. You stand upon the joy of the Lord and believe that all things work, what? Together for good to them that love Him. It's not a cliche. It's a scripture. It's God's word. It doesn't return void. He's not a man that He should lie. How many times do we have to say that? Trust in God. Trust in the living word. It's alive. It's been here for 6,000 years almost. And it's transcended the ages. It's the book that's hung around, and it's never been contradicted, although people will try to. But the ones that have on their deathbeds have come around to it. And then some haven't, and we know their fate. And we won't talk about that. Stand upon God's joy. So let's talk practically, okay? I want to finish today with how to encourage ourselves. Okay, Pastor, you know, David encouraged himself in the Lord. How do we encourage ourselves in the Lord, especially when people seem to fall short for us? I'm going to give you 10 things. And actually, there was a handout out there. Eric, did you get it? Woo! Man, you guys got it. All right? So, you know, you're going to have something in your hands to go away from, but let's just go through it together. 1 Kings 19, verses 5 through 8. First thing we can do, and I'm going to just get real secular right now, and that's not really even secular. God, where did God put us? On the earth, with feet, in a mortal body. We are physical beings. Spiritually first and foremost, because that's what's going to go back to be with God. But while we're here, we live in these things called the temple of God. It's called a sarksack in the Bible, really, and it sounds pretty bad, right? But it's a sarksack. It's that which you function from. Your spirit is functioning in a physical body. My morning and wake up and go, hello, good morning, how is everybody? I'm doing this on my own. No. I tell it what to do. My arm only is doing this because I'm telling it what to do. You have a spirit. You have a mind. You have a soul. God gave that to you to make decisions, to make choices. He's connected you spirit to spirit to His spirit so that those choices that you make with your brain will be connected to His choices. That's how your spirit and soul come together. God's influence doing and making those choices. Unfortunately, you live in a world where Satan will speak to your mind. So if you allow your mind to infiltrate your physical body, what's going to happen? You're going to make the choices that are not of God, and you're going to do carnal, worldly, call it what you want, things. So you live in a life of choice. I wake up today, and I decide where this arm's going to go. I decide where my mind's going to go. I decide where and what I'm going to think about and who I'm going to minister to or not minister to, or to get out of bed or not get out of bed. Right? I'm just trying to show you how we function as human beings. We're in the dirt, so I'm going to start there. Okay? Not going to get real spiritual with this very first one. Be practical. 1 Kings 9-8. Here's old Elijah running from Jezebel, tired, exhausted. He must have ran a long time because he did gird up his loins and he ran. And it must have been a marathon because he was under this tree and he was out for the count. He slept under this juniper tree. And behold, there was an angel touching him. How about that? You're out for the count. You're exhausted. You're running out of fear, really. And an angel touches you. And he says to him, arise and pray. Did he say that? No. He said, arise and what? Eat. He saw the condition Elijah was in. I don't know about you when you're done with a marathon, but, you know, somebody can pray over you, and you'll welcome that, but if you see that glass of water because you're living in a natural body, you're going to grab the glass of water after running 25 miles. God knows that. He looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones. Man, I'll tell you what, angels are for you, right? I don't know what that tastes like, but I'm sure to him it was good. And a jar of water. So what did he do? He ate and drank, and he lays down again. After you eat, we all know what's the best thing to do once we've had a big full meal, right? We like to lay down. That's just, again, all this is being very human, and God's talking about it. The angel of the Lord came again a second time. Obviously, he must have fell asleep. Didn't want him to just kind of eat, you know, and not eat and run, but not eat and lay down. The angel of the Lord came again a second time, touched him and said, arise, eat. He must have been famished because the journey is too great for you. We got a spiritual journey we're going on, and we've got something that we've got to move for God with. But you know what? It's kind of like when you're laying in that hospital bed, right? In Teresa's home. You know, she wants to be here more than anything. She was just crying so much because she couldn't be here this morning and stuff like that. But if your physical body is not cooperating, and if you don't take care of it, it's going to be very difficult for you to spiritually tune in with God like you can when you're healthy. Taking care of spirit, soul, and body. And we're hitting body. So he arose and he ate and he drank and he went in the strength of that food for how long? 40 days and 40 nights. Gee, does that sound familiar? What happened for 40 days and 40 nights once before? To Horeb, the mountain of God. That's very practical. He went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights. So what am I saying? He's running from Jezebel. He's scared. He had just beaten 350 prophets, by the way, of Baal with great faith and great power. You're on your mountaintop. You've had this beautiful experience with God. You know you just ministered. You feel good. You maybe ministered to a homeless person. Maybe you shared Christ. They got saved. You know, you're on cloud nine. You and God are just running right along. You got a great marriage, and everything's working really well. And then all of a sudden, the argument comes, or maybe you've been through a divorce, or maybe you've done that. And all of a sudden, from the mountaintop, you're down in the valley of the shadow of death. Now, mind you, God has not left you, but you've just bounced from one point to the other. You've killed 350 prophets of Baal that were against God, and now one woman's coming against you, and all of a sudden, you know, maybe you've just been depleted with all of your strength. He had nothing left after that 350, and now one comes, and it's like, I'm on my way. I'm making it practical because you've been there. You've had the mountaintop experiences. You know what the valley looks like. But God hasn't changed. He's there in the mountain. He's there in the valley. That in your life, it may go like that for a while. It'll be great if we can stay up here the whole time. But But generally, we get a little prideful and we get a little arrogant, and sometimes we get a little bit trusting in ourselves too much if we stay up there too high too long. Even when you're riding in a plane, at some point in time, you got to come down on the ground so you can minister to the people that have their feet in the dirt and maybe not where you are. He is now physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually wiped out. His tank was low. It was empty. I put it this way. He was a wet noodle. He didn't want to be around people. Anybody ever been there? He didn't want to be around people. He went to a juniper tree to find solace. He was tired. So what happens? An angel tells him to arise, eat, and drink, and sustain, and it sustained him for 40 days and 40 nights. So practically speaking, your first one on your sheet there, when you're depressed or you're low, it's time to start with some practical things. And here they are. Proper sleep, bodily nutrition. We just heard about a seminar you can go to learn a little bit about that, right? Avoiding lots of sugar. Hello, you know what that does to kids? Taking vitamins, lots of water. I'm just giving you some that I know of. You could probably add to this list yourself. And exercise. And so I say, what's this got to do with hearing God? Everything. It's tough to hear God in a broken down state of repair. I'll say it again. It's tough to hear God when you're in a broken down state of disrepair. Maintain good physical health the best way you can. That's all I'm going to say about that. It is part of our experience in living this life until we get to heaven, right? So think about those things. They're not good things to think about. No one's going to call you a carnal Christian because you're getting proper sleep or good nutrition or you're exercising. They're going to see that you have discipline. They're going to see that you take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. And they're going to honor God for that, hopefully. All right. Secondly, go to God personally. How about that, right? Go to God personally. God is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a person, the one who will never fail you like people can do. Well, how do you go to him? Read his word. It's one way. We know that, right? And I'm going to concentrate on that one right now. Read his word. You're going to find lots of encouragement in here. Lots of encouragement here. But just don't go to the scriptures and randomly pick out verses like Jesus wept or Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead after lying to the Holy Spirit. That's not going to encourage you. Okay? Why did I put that way? Because you just don't go in here and go, okay, I want encouragement. So Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead after lying to the Holy Spirit. How did that encourage me? There's encouragement scriptures in here. And there's a wonderful, I'm not going to say that word wonderful. I hate it. But there's a thing called the internet. There's things that you can go to that if you have a hard time looking it up yourself, you can type in Bible verses that deal with encouragement. And you'll get every one of them that's in there. And so you go to them and you use your Bible and you read those scriptures over and over and over again so that you're bathing yourself with the Word of God, which is a living Word. And God says as it's a living Word, it's going to cleanse you. And you'll begin to encourage yourself in the Lord. Eating well and feeling good is encouraging yourself in the Lord. Going here and reading the Bible, going to God personally is encouragement in the Lord, right? That, it would be a downer if you read things out of context, though. Jesus is our chief prophet. What do I mean by that? Jesus is our king. He's our prophet. He's our chief priest, right? He came as a person, so he became the chief prophet and chief priest. He's our example in everything. So go to him for encouragement, and it's in his word. Isaiah 26:3. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in you. Stay steadfast in your mind. Know that you can go to the Lord and he'll be there for you. And he will encourage you when you need encouragement. He'll walk with you when you need to be walked with. Stay with him. So again, steadfast of mind. What does that mean? What you think will determine what you speak. What you are thinking will determine what you will speak, and what you speak will determine your actions. That's how it works. You get a thought, if you dwell on it, you're going to speak it, and if you speak it, eventually you're going to act on it. And then the whole scenario plays out. So that's why Jesus says to take every thought, what? Captive to the obedience of Christ. If you don't take that thought when it comes in, if you don't recognize it as evil or from the enemy or from you when you had bad digestion or whatever it was, and you don't take it and say, you know what, I'm just not going to listen to that because I know it's just coming from a bad meal, or I just know it's coming from the devil, or I just know it's not biblical. I am not going to entertain that thought. I'm going to go right in here and I'm going to entertain the thought that says, you know what, God is with me and he's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. God knows that I'm the apple of his eye. He created me before he was even thought of in my mother's womb. He knew what family I would be into, and even though it was a cruddy family maybe that I was born into and stuff like that, he knew that he would give me the strength to get through it. He'll never give me anything that I can't handle. And it may be he did that so that I could later on minister to families who were having children and stuff that maybe didn't treat them exactly the way they should have been treated. And so my purpose in life is going to be to minister to those kinds of people. Hence why I was born into such a situation. You don't know, but God does, because he works everything together for good, and you got to trust that. So again, what you think is what you speak, and what you speak will determine what you do. Psalm 138:8. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Do you believe that? Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. That means he didn't do it just for one generation. He's going to do it for everybody. Do not forsake the works of your hands. Do not forsake the works of your hands. It doesn't wake up and tell you what to do. You make that choice. Stay steadfast of mind. Do the work of the Lord. He will encourage you. He will come alongside you when you're in the middle of the 15th hour of serving the food line and you're so tired, and you'll get a revitalization and energy, and you know what? You go for another 2 or 3 hours. Trust God to encourage you. It works. Strengthening yourself in the Lord requires you, or it should be, that you do some practical things to take care of your body, and it also tells you to get into his word and get to those scriptures that will help to sustain you that way as well. Okay? Philippians 1:6. For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will do what? Perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Folks, all that says is you're a work in progress. Don't get discouraged because you take one step backwards if you're taking 2 steps forward. You're a work in progress. There's times when, you know what, you're not going to take that thought captive. It gets in and you do the dumb thing. And you know what? If he forgives you, forgive yourself. If Jesus can forgive you, you have no right to deny forgiveness to yourself. You got to. You're commanded to. And you move on. And you continue to grow. And you know, not every race that you win in life, and every runner wins every single race. Downhill skiers, football teams. You know, your New England Patriots couldn't keep it up for all, you know, forever. They lost this year. Uh-huh. Okay, they didn't do it for you, New England Patriots out there. You can't do it all the time. Sometimes, you know what, you don't make the right pass. Sometimes you don't catch the ball just the right way. Sometimes you don't just kick it the right way. Sometimes you don't say the right things. Sometimes you disappoint a fellow loved one. Thank God for real relationships, because real relationships will know who you are at the core. And when you're not acting like you yourself, you're going to know something's wrong. And you should be coming in to minister instead of to judge and be critical. Because you know the person. Because you know the person you've been laboring alongside, whether it's in a marriage or it's in church. If you really, really know that person, then what you've heard that he said or she said should be investigated. And sometimes they're going to come up to you and say, I never said that. And you know what? They probably never did. But sometimes they may come and say, you know what? I had a bad hair day. Can you forgive me? Well, I'm sorry. You know, I'm perfect. I can't. We got to get over that stuff. If you're really a family, if we're really in covenant with one another, it breaks the heart of God to see us run out on each other when we come into situations where we've not handled it the way that you thought we should. I pray I never let you guys down, but if I do let you down, please forgive me and give me another shot. Not a shot, but a shot. Folks, it's going to get better, folks. It's going to get better. Let's go to the third thing. I want to get through this here. Third thing is learn to ask the right questions according to his purposes. Learn to ask God when you pray the right questions according to his purposes. Don't ask God, why me? Or why did I do? What did I do to deserve this? Ask what you can learn from it. And what's the purpose of this trial in my life, Lord? Because whatever it is, help me learn quick. I want out. But I want to learn what you have me to learn. Do not be negative. If you are, the devil doesn't even have to attack you. You do it yourself. When you're negative, you're attacking yourself. So the devil's going, whoa, hold off, guys. They're doing a real good job of attacking themselves. They're beating themselves up. They're condemning themselves. They're staying and wallowing in their stuff. They're just speaking negative. They're not speaking those things that are as though they, you know, whatever. They're just not doing it. So let them alone. Leave them alone. Let them, you know, this is a good thing for us. And God's going, what are you doing? Speak my words. Think my thoughts. Come to me. Strengthen yourself in me. Right now, you're not doing a very good job on your own. This is how we strengthen ourselves in the Lord. We read His Word. We stay physically fit. We stay mentally fit. And we speak those things that are not as though they are. And we ask to learn the right questions for His purposes. Okay, God, I know I'm going through this. It happens to all of us. It rains on the just and the unjust. I'm in unfavorable circumstances. But you know what? I'm not going to say why. It's obviously in my life for a reason. Whatever circumstance is there, for whatever purpose it's there, teach me, Lord. Teach me quickly and let me respond in a favorable way. I'm going to speak positive. Even though I feel like garbage, I am going to speak. I'm going to say, thank you, Lord, for my healing. Yes, I may be right now going through all of the symptoms, but I know healing's on the way because it was finished on the cross. And this is what you want as a daddy for their sons and daughters. You want me in a healed state. So I'm speaking it. I have a right to, because I'm your kid. I can be bold and approach the throne boldly by the throne of what? Grace. Jesus made it possible. He bust the veil down in two to access our daddy. And when you can access your daddy, you can ask daddy for anything. Doesn't mean he's going to give it to you right when you want it. But when you can ask daddy, you know it's in daddy's hands. He's certainly going to work it all together for good for you. Because his ultimate purpose for you is to be that child that he can just embrace and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Ask the right questions. Don't be negative. But if he does attack, listen, if the devil does get his bony little finger in there on you, recognize his tactics because they don't change. He is going to try to destroy you. He is going to try to distract you. He is going to try to distress you. He is going to try to discourage you. And he will even use good people to do that if they're not aware themselves of what's going on. So instead, look to identify the good in any situation. But Pastor, there is no good. Yeah, there's always good in any situation. If anything else, Lord, let it be an example to those who are going through the same thing, Lord, to see my faith soar up on eagle's wings into your lap. Maybe the Lord's trying to make you even more sensitive or relational. Have you ever thought about that? I know for me and what my wife is going through right now, I am much more sensitive and I am much more relational to her. You know, she's always taken care of me and all the things that I've gone through, and now I have an opportunity, and that's how I look at it, to be able to minister to her. Yes, Lord, we want it done today because I'm tired of this. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm there. I'm not leaving my wingman. If she needs me to run out at midnight to go get something, I'm going to go get it. If she needs me just to hold her hand, I'm going to do it. If she needs me to hold her, if she wants me to just read to her scripture and stuff like that, even though I'm tired and I want to go to sleep, like Amanda said, and I just want to go back to bed, no, I'm going to read this because I know that it's going to be of value to her, because that relationship that I have with her, I want to be under-oriented. I want to be Christ-like. I want to sacrifice. She has done it for me. I'm doing it for her. That's how we go through life. That's how we as brothers and sisters should be doing life together. And don't focus on the negative. And don't focus on the time that I get up on a bad day and I don't call you or I don't visit you or I say the wrong thing or I put my foot in my mouth or I do that and you base our whole relationship on one thing. Because I've seen so many people leave church because of one cross word, and sometimes you don't know what that person just went through. Maybe they lost a loved one and they were just in a bad hair day and they had a cross word, and all of a sudden you're the brunt of that because you said it, and it's like, oh, I don't want to be around that pastor, man. He just totally ignored me, didn't call me, didn't visit me, didn't do anything in my situation. You don't know what he was going through. And even if he screwed up, do you? You want him running out on you every time you screw up or say the wrong thing? Or we find out things about you and refuse to believe him till we talk to you? Instead of just getting a text? Instead of just leaving, writing a note? Sorry, Pastor. You ain't cutting the mustard, buddy. Oh, okay. 20 years I haven't cut the mustard. Covenant, it breaks that easy. That's what God says to us when we don't come to him in those kinds of circumstances. Well, God, you know what? You're just not working it out in my life right now. And so, you know, I just don't believe you're going to do that. So, you know, I'm just going to get angry and I'm going to just, you know, do my own thing. We've got to learn to trust God and to get into his word and to begin to minister to one another with patience and with understanding and with long-suffering. Isn't that novel, the fruit of the Spirit coming out in you, in relationships? The devil won't try to, he's going to discourage you, and he's going to have you look for the bad in every situation. Fourthly, recognize that every time you repent, God forgives you. Therefore, you have to forgive yourself and get over your mistakes. Listen, I'm going to say this again. Recognize that every time you repent, God forgives you. Every time. Therefore, and I mean truly repent. Not just say, I'm sorry, and hit Johnny over the head with a baseball bat. I'm sorry to hit Johnny over the head with a baseball bat. You're working towards correcting the situation and walking in the opposite direction. Maybe it's not going to happen overnight, but that's your heart. You're moving that way. But every time you repent, he will forgive you. Therefore, if he forgives you, you have to forgive yourself and get over your mistakes. And here's the kicker. As well as the mistakes of others. But I don't want to forgive him. He said something mean to me. He said my family wasn't very spiritual. He said we were lazy and complacent. He said this, he said that. Oh, Jesus. Well, then forgive us. But look at the words. Well, why would he ever say anything like that? Do I resemble anything that was said in that vein? But whoever does say that should be saying it in love, and they should really be saying it to you and not to somebody else, because that's called gossip. And that needs to be forgiven. But approach the person and explain to them, I was offended when you talked about me to somebody else at another church. I really was, Maria. I heard my name was mentioned, and it was because I didn't do this or I did this or whatever. And I just got to bring it to you because I don't want to hold on to the offense. You offended me. And then how they respond is how you will probably respond. You've gotten it off your chest. You were offended. And, you know, that person can either say, hey, can you forgive me? You're right. It was out of place. Or, well, that's the way it went down. I was just conveying what was needed to be said. And well, that's kind of gossip, and it hurts my character, and that's not really who I am on a day-to-day basis. It was just a bad hair day. Depends on how they respond, right? On how you respond. But the point is that we have got to approach one another with any offenses so that we can work them out one-on-one, because that's how God wants it done. Because then he says, if it doesn't work out that way, then it's two. And then he says, take it before the congregation. Then he says, you know what? If you still can't get along, that's when you separate. But we don't want to do that. That's not who we are. Fifthly, on your thing, it says pray. Psalm 10:1. Don't really have to explain this one, do I? Strengthening yourself in the Lord means you need to recognize and repent and forgive, right? That was four. Number five is how to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Pray. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourselves in times of trouble? Ever felt that way? Those are the times when you've got to pray. You've got to pray. Read Psalm 77:1 here. For the choir director, wow, so these are the praise and worshipers again having tremendous responsibility. My voice rises to God. You can sing to God if you want. When you pray, you can sing your prayer if you like to sing. And I will cry aloud, for my voice goes where? It rises to God and he will hear me. That's confidence in prayer. I know that when I speak to the Lord, he will hear me. Let's move on. Sixth, praise. Makes sense, right? How do you strengthen yourself in the Lord? You read your Bible, right? You take care of your body. You repent when you need to. You forgive yourself of your mistakes. You pray. And you praise. Pray. We just did that today. I think I already explained it at the beginning of the service. Praise is the opposite of what you feel when you're down. Totally opposite of what you feel, right? What we want to do is complain. But you have to force yourself to celebrate. If you can't think of anything current, praise him for what he's done in the past and what he's going to do in the future, right? You've got to resist self-pity. That's not of God. If you don't feel like it, don't trust your feelings. Do it anyway. Amanda, you already preached that message already. Didn't feel like coming to church, but I know if I go, God's going to minister to me, whether it's from the pulpit or whether it's through a song or what somebody says or just the fellowship afterwards, that God will show up. And you'll get just the right word or just the right song or just the right... It's just awesome to watch him work that way. So praise. Celebrate. Seventh, focus on possibility. Do not focus on what's going wrong or you're going to get discouraged. Amen? You focus on what's going wrong, you stare at the problem, it's going to stay a problem. Focus on what's going right. Well, Pastor, I can't think of anything. Well, you're saved, You're sanctified and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, right? You're saved, sanctified, baptized in the Holy Spirit. You've got the power of life and death in your mouth. You can decide whether you stay where you are or not because of the power of life and death that God has put in your mouth. Romans 4, 17 to 21. It's written, "A father of many nations I've made you, in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist." God's words will create something when he speaks them. It's that powerful. "In hope against hope," this is Abraham now, "but he believed what God said to him." Going to have a child at 100 years old. Yeah, right. It happened. Well, he was 100, Sarah was 90. "So that he might become a father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall your descendants be." Now, if you're 90 years old right now, ladies, and God says you're going to have a baby, your first response is, "Yeah, right." But God is the God of the impossible. We still serve a supernatural God. He can change any situation. He can raise the dead. He can do anything. We've got to trust that. If we don't, then all of our prayers are just going to be a hope and a prayer and a wishing and a hoping and a hoping and a wishing. And that's not what hope means. Hope means expectation. I prayed it. I know God's on it. And at some point in time, he's going to deliver. Focus on possibility. 1 John 5, 4. We'll wind this up here. 1 John 5, 4. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." And that is you, folks. "And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Whatever is born of God. You're not born of God when you're born into this world, right? You're not. You're born into an unsaved world. You've got the sin of Adam on you. But when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're born of God. You've now transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You're now a citizen of heaven. You're now a son and daughter of God. You're part of God's family, and his responsibility as a daddy is to take care of you, and he will never let you down. That's why you got to get saved, because you're born into a world that's not. There's power in your mouth. There's power in the things that you speak when you're part of the family of God, because you've inherited God's DNA. The words you speak matter. If he could create the world and said, "Let there be light," and there was light, what do you say? Because you're made in the image of God. He gave you power and authority. Be careful what you speak. Meditate on these scriptures, for God does not lie. Just look at these and meditate on them. Do not meditate on the problem. And as we finish this up, number 8, we'll be quick. Be patient. When you're desperate or discouraged, you want it now, not yesterday. I want it now. I want healing now. I want everything now. Do not let desperate thoughts come in. Put your emotions under the obedience of God's word. When your emotions run amok, get into God's word to straighten them out. Think to yourself, "I can wait out the devil." When you're impatient, "I can outwait you, devil. Even though my answer hasn't come right now, I'll outwait you. And what about this one? This too will pass." And it will. Whatever situation you're in, if you can think of anything that you've ever been in before, this too, at some point in time, will pass. Remember, our lives are in God's hands. Number 9, remember any prophetic words spoken over you. This will encourage yourself in the Lord. If there's been prophetic words spoken over you, recall them and trust in God. What are we talking about? Ways to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Trust in the prophetic word that's spoken over you. Be patient. Take care of your body. Read God's word. These are all things that you can do to strengthen yourself in the Lord. And finally, number 10, call upon the power of God. Hey, let's not forget about that. God has power over what we don't. 1 John 4, 4. 1 John 4, 4. "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." Folks, you have got the power lying and residing inside of you to call upon him and to use that power. But you have to call. So again, speak to the storm in your life. Speak to the depression. Say, "Leave me in Jesus' name. Leave me in Jesus' name. Leave me in Jesus' name." There's power in those words. Believe them. Receive them. And God will act upon them. Take negative thoughts. What do we do with them? Take them captive. And finally, 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. We already said it, but we'll read it again. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. We don't. For the weapons of our warfare aren't of the flesh, because we're not of this world, remember? But they're divinely powerful, our weapons are, for the destruction of what? Spiritual fortresses. Things that are in our life that are coming against us, right? We are destroying what? Speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Satan's going to bring into your life every thought against you. Oh, I'm so depressed, and I can't have victory over this, and no one can help me, and I'm all alone, and I don't have a power to strengthen myself in the Lord. And raise up against that knowledge the devil's given you and come into the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. How do you do that? Right here. He gives you everything that you can dwell on and you can concentrate on that will give you that hope that you need. So what are we saying in conclusion, folks? You've got the power living in you that no demon in hell or any situation can withstand. Be encouraged today. Be a powerful end times Christian and be an overcomer. Amen? Amen.